Sunday morning, and also 2 weeks from today, New Year's Day, we'll be having service there also, and we'll be having service on New Year's Eve, and I think we'll start probably about 6 o'clock there. Brother Goff will be with us, and we will be having service there, and then at the end of service, we plan on having communion and feet washing, so just keep that in mind, make plans, and just plan on being here. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so we want to just begin the year, just worshiping the Lord. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We'll begin reading in Psalms 27. Psalms chapter 27, we'll read verses 1 through 6. And then we'll go to Psalms 91 after that. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And then from Psalms 91, verse 1. We'll read down to verse 9. Psalms 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Let's just pray for a moment, Lord, as we bow our hearts to you this morning, Lord. We just know that these words are the words of eternal life. And Lord, we also know that as a man, we cannot break the bread of life to your people, but Lord, you can. And so we're just trusting, Lord, that you'll come this morning, that you'll open these words to the heart of your people, Lord, that it will speak to them, give them strength and nourishment, make the pathway clear for them, Lord, that you would just help them to understand the hour that they live in and their purpose, where their victory comes from. We ask it in Jesus' name. And you may be seated, please. The title of this today, Thy Habitation. Amen. And a subtitle, See a Secret Place. So, we read here in Psalms 91. We're just going to kind of rehearse these two passages of scriptures that we read for just a little bit here. And see if we can get to the thought the Lord has for us this morning. But we read here in Psalms 91, it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And so, you know, the word dwelleth, you know, that means to stay. You say, where do you dwell? Where do you live? That's a place you spend most of your time there, right? So the word dwelleth is a length of time that, of course, different measurements or whatever, but it implies there that this is a place that you stay at. This is a place you spend most of your time at. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And so if the scripture says that, then there must be a secret place of the Most High, right? And so if it's a secret place, it belongs to him, it's a secret place of the Most High, it's a secret place. But if your dwelling there is not a secret to you, right? But it would be a secret to somebody, right? And so we know that it's a special place the Lord has prepared for his people, that they could come there and be with him. And so he goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, this is what happens if you dwell in this secret place. Then you can say this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And you know what a refuge is? When you're trying to get away from things, you need to go to a place where you can get away and hide. So the Lord becomes your refuge. He becomes a place that you can go to. If you're talking about a place, it's a condition.
Right.
He becomes a place that you can go to get away from things that you need to get away from. So I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God, in him I will trust. You know, it's not okay for him just to be somebody else's God or to be a God that the rest of the world, like Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? You got to know who I am. And so he wants you to come into this place where you can say he's your refuge and he is your God, not just the God of somebody else, but he is your God, and that you have learned in him I will put my trust, or that you can put your trust in him. So he says, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. I think of that, cover thee with his feathers, and I don't think of chickens when I think that. I think of eagles.
Right.
He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So if there is this snare of the fowler and noisome pestilence, these are things, I didn't look up to see what all those are, but these are things obviously that's not desirable, that a person would want to have protection from those things. And so he says, His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. And I wondered what a buckler is. And really, both of them are shields. One of them is fairly large, and the buckler is the one that is portable that you would carry in close hand-to-hand combat. And so he's saying that to protect yourself from the enemy and the things that he throws at you, he will be your shield and he will also be your buckler. Right? And this is all things that we can say when we know that we've entered into this secret place of the Most High. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. So it says all these things because those things exist. There are all kinds of things that try to come at a believer and to test and to try and to destroy. And so the Lord says here that he will be our shield, our buckler. He'll be this place that we can go to, our refuge and a protection. He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. These are promises that God has given us. And so the whole theme of this, if you're listening to all this, the whole theme of all this is as we go on and we'll talk about here, is that it is in troublous times. It is that when you have enemies, when you have things that are breathing down your neck, God has promised to be with you and keep you. And though the condition of this world gets to a place where 1,000, you may look to your side and see 1,000 fall for the things of the world, which we have, and you could look to your right and see 10,000 fall, but the promise of God is that regardless of how many you see fall, it's not going to come nigh you. It's not going to come nigh your dwelling. And so he says, only with thine eye shall you behold the reward of the wicked. So you see many of these things happening. This is the reward of the wicked. The wicked have a reward coming to them. And so, but God is saying that you might see those things, and you will see those things, but they are not for you. They are not coming nigh you because you're not in that category. So, only with thine eyes shall you behold the reward of the wicked. And so he says, here's why. Here's why that you can say that he's my refuge, my God. I can put my trust in him. Here's why that you know that these things aren't going to come nigh your dwelling, come nigh you. Might happen to the rest of the world, but it's not going to happen to you. The reason why that you will see that 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right, but it won't come nigh you, is because, he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you've made the Lord your habitation, that is why these things will not come to you. That's what he's saying there. So, and again, habitation is where you abide. You know, habit, something you do all the time, habitation.
Right.
And so, but the whole theme of this is look at all the troubles and all the things and the toils of life that come and all the enemies and things that come, whether it be sickness or finances or whatever it is, or maybe a family member that's went astray, whatever. Regardless of all those things, God has promised to be there and protect you from those things if you dwell in this secret place, if you have made the Lord thy habitation. Now in Psalms chapter 27, and remember, this is the scriptures Brother Branham chose to read for rapture text. And I've said many times, I think about it, of all the things, if you say, oh, Brother Brown's going to preach about rapture, you could think of all kinds of things in the scriptures he might use, and I don't know that you would have picked this one. But you have to realize, him being God's prophet, he knew exactly why he chose this passage of scripture for rapture. Because we all are expecting there to be a rapture, right? For God to come and catch his little bride away. And so in Psalms 27, he says, The Lord is my light. Well, if the Lord is your light, will that light ever go out?
No.
Not at all, right? Now think about it. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. So if the Lord is these things for you, just like he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, if the Lord is your shepherd, what are you going to have need of? Right? So if the Lord is your light, he's your salvation, he's your strength, will that strength ever go away? It's not going to happen. But if the Lord is. But he tells us in verse 5, he says, for in a time of trouble. In a time of trouble. This is why, Brother Branham, I think that he picked this, because right here at time where there's a rapture, where there's scoffers and there's all these people making fun of and all that, and all these obstacles against a believer, and it's a time of trouble. And look what we see out there. I mean, we live in a time of trouble. Right. We've lived in a time of trouble for a long time, but it's definitely that way now. And so the scripture said there, in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now, you know what a pavilion is. We go out to the park, and we're out here having a good time. They have a place there that you can get in underneath, out of the sun, and out of things. That's a pavilion. It's a place of rest, a place of safety, a place of comfort. And so the scripture says there in Psalms 27, verse 5, for in a time of trouble, when everything's going bad, right? What's God going to do? He shall hide me in his pavilion. He's promised to do that. That's what's going to happen when rapture comes around. In a troublesome time, God's just going to reach right over and he's going to pull his people and just place them right over in this secret place of protection in his pavilion. So he says, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Right? Amen. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Right.
Now, we know what a rock is. It's a revelation, but I'm going to read this, and I've read this many times before, but Brother Ben talks about this in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And remember in Matthew where Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It's, what matters is what you knew, what you think, what you know. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Where others are saying, well, one of the prophets or this, but Peter said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, you're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. Now, I want you to remember that. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed this to you. Amen. And upon this rock of revelation. Because remember, Jesus said, if you take a man, if he will not build upon this word, it's like a man that builds his house on sand. And the storm will come and wipe it away. But if a man will build his life upon the word of God, it's like a man building his house on a rock, a foundation that's solid, then the storms are going to come, the winds are going to blow, but it's not going to take that house away because it's founded on a rock. And so this goes back to this where he said, upon this rock, and Brother Branham said, not on Jesus and not on Peter, but on the revelation of who Jesus is or who the Word is. The revelation of who the Word is for your day. See, it doesn't matter if you know what Jesus was 2,000 years ago, but you must know what he is today. And upon that revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. It showed, Brother Brown said, it showed that it would be against it, but it will not prevail against it. And so, based upon this, Brother Brown says, in Christ is a mystery, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never shake it down, never prevail against it. See? I'll build my church upon this rock, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. And Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Amen? Amen. See, he said, see what God's trying to do? This is what God's trying to do. He said, what is a new birth? You would say, well, Brother Brown, what is the new birth? We all want to know that, right? Or of course, believers who experienced this know. But I remember coming up into the Lord, giving my heart to the Lord, and wanting to know, what is this genuine birth? What is this genuine thing? And so he says, you'll ask, what is a new birth? Brother Brown says, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And he's the Word, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, Not that you joined a church or you shook a hand or done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. Not that. Right? That's not what it was. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Right?
Right.
Not the pastor, priest, whatever it might be. But it's Christ in you. That's the revelation that the church is built upon. Because a lot of people think being a Christian is just church. Or putting your name on a book or something like that. That has nothing to do with it. Yeah, we come to church because we are Christians. But it is the revelation of Jesus Christ that makes the difference. And so when he says, he shall set me up upon a rock. He will, in this time of trouble, he's going to reach over and he's going to grab his people and he's going to put them in this secret place, this habitation, this pavilion. He's going to put them there. And that, in essence, he's saying, I'll put them upon a revelation that'll hide them in a secret place. You might still be here in this world, but once God puts that revelation in you, he ushers you into a secret place where it's just you and the Lord. He's revealed to you. You know that he's your God, and you know that he's your protection, and you know that he's what you can put your trust in.
Right.
So we believe that. Mm-hmm. And so, Brother Graham explains out there that the new birth is this revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. So, if you look at all these things that he promised that he would be, and all these scriptures we just read and talked about, that we shouldn't have a want, right? As long as we have made the Lord our habitation. So, in this rapture text there, Psalms 27, where Brother Branham is reading that, there's one thing that really sticks out there to me, that in this time of trouble and so forth, that he's going to hide us, that he says, David says, there's one thing that I desire, and that's the thing I'm going to seek after. You follow me? There's one thing that I want in this end time, in this rapture time, where there's a troubled time and God has promised to put us in this secret place and hide us away. In that hour, David says, there's one thing that I'm looking for, that I desire, and that's the thing I'm going to seek after. I'm not going to be seeking after something else and going anywhere else, but I'm going to seek after this one thing. And he actually names three things, which are all one in the same thing there. And he says, and I'm saying this because to the bride of Christ, here at the end time, this desire, this one thing that David says, the one thing I desire, this should be the one desire that becomes more overwhelming and overrides everything else in our life. We should have this one desire becoming the very focus of our life. And that is, the one desire is, he says, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, you know what the house of the Lord is? It's the body of believers.
Right.
Right? To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And so that should be the absolute desire of the believer in this day, is the bride in this day, is to say that there's one thing I want in life more than anything else, and that is that I can be in the body of Christ, in the house of the Lord, that I can be right there and dwell there, and not come out, to dwell there all the days of my life, that while I'm there, I can behold the beauty of the Lord, and that I can, on a daily basis, I can inquire, that I can fellowship with him, that I can speak to him and him speak back. Because that's what it means. If you go to inquire something, you want to answer, right? Total, complete access to the Lord, right? And so to be able to behold his beauty, the beauty of the Lord in his word, the beauty of the Lord in his people. Amen?
Right. Amen.
We come to the house of God and we enjoy being with each other. And if Christ is the center of the revelation of our life, what I love in you is the Christ in you.
Amen.
That when I look at you and I love being with the family of God,
amen,
then what I'm loving is the beauty of the Lord that I'm beholding in your life and you in my life. Mm-hmm. Right? So our as believers, our entire desire here at the end time as the bride is one thing. I want to make sure that I'm in this in Christ Jesus, in this body, this tabernacle of the Lord, and be able to see God in the midst of his people and see him in my life and see him in his word and see that beauty of the Lord and be able to fellowship daily with him. Right? That's what David said. That's all I want. And he said, that's the thing I'm going to seek after. Right? And that's what we should be.
Amen.
To be able to seek after that one thing, and that is, you know, just like when Mary and Martha was there, and I don't remember all the details to it at the moment, but he said she's chosen that needful part. When she lay there, she was listening to Jesus, and I think Martha was like, have her get up and come and help me wait on you, waiting on table, you know, making food to eat and all that. And Jesus said, you're so worried about so many things, but she has chosen that needful part. We're talking about that needful part this morning. Amen? And so, he wants to hide us into this secret place. And he's doing that at rapture time. And it's a revelation. Everything starts by revelation first. And so this secret place that he wants to usher us into, that he wants us to make that our habitation. This is where I dwell daily, in this revelation, in this fellowship with God, beholding the beauty of the Lord. Even though we're going to work and doing all these things, but there's one thing for sure, we are dwelling in the house of the Lord daily.
Right?
Right? For all the rest of our lives as believers. It's a secret place. The world don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't know it. But we know it.
Yes.
Because we're in it. Right? That's the whole idea of a Christian. And so this is a secret place. It's supposed to be a secret, personal place of relationship between you and the Lord and just you alone. Right? Now, think about it from an adult standpoint, from marriage, husband and wife. That secret place. Right? It's not what husband and wife do when they go to the supermarket holding hands or whatever. It's not what the public sees. That's not what brings life.
Right.
It's what happens in secret.
Right?
Right? And so the deep fellowship between a man and woman is not out in the open. You can see results of it out in the open. You can see that they love each other. You can tell that they're married to their spouse, whatever. But the thing that really... That's the down at the core of that relationship that brings life and that the deepest part of their intimacy and their closeness happens in secret. And this is no different. God wants you to have a personal, secret relationship with him, just you and him, with nobody else present in your walk.
Right?
Right? That's what he wants. And if you have somebody else present, it's perversion. A natural type spiritual. So you see what's going on in the world, and you see what Satan wants you to do, right? But it's supposed to be a secret relationship between you and your husband, your Lord, and you don't need nobody else,
right?
I don't need anybody else. Listen, if the church falls completely apart and we're not even here anymore, I'm going on with God.
Amen.
Me and just me and the Lord, because I have that relationship with him, right? Then from that relationship, I can come out and I can come present here and be a blessing to you, and you can come and be a blessing here in the church, but it's because we can be a blessing here because of what happens in the secret place at home between us and the Lord, in that secret walk we have with the Lord. And so you got to understand that it is a personal relationship, and you don't need to be in a situation where I'm not serving the Lord too good because so-and-so, my friend's not. Or something else. Or the church is going through a rough time or something. It has nothing to do with it. It's you and the Lord and you two alone, right?
Right.
So nobody else present, because if you have somebody else in your relationship with the Lord, it's perversion.
Right. Right.
Right? And so here's another thing. We need to stop trying to let the bulk of our relationship with the Lord be here in the church. The bulk of your relationship should be in that secret place with him at home alone. right? And as I've already illustrated, you can come here and be a blessing. But because there's a lot of people, they have no relationship with the Lord. The only thing they have is what they experience when they come to church when everybody else is around. And God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to have that personal relationship, that secret place of the Most High, the place where He takes you that's going to rapture your body. Amen? And so this deep, deep relationship, this secret place, is not supposed to be a public showing. And I'm saying it that way to tie it to the message. It's not supposed to be a public showing. And that phrase, being a public showing, it speaks of the third pool. We're familiar with that in the message. It speaks of what happens in the soul realm. You know, we are outside flesh. We are spirit. We are soul. Your flesh is not born again. Your spirit can be anointed with God one day and then the devil the next day. It's like the wind. It kind of blows. But Brother Ben says, but down in that inside of the inside, in the soul, it's you. It's that's the part of you that's predestinated to God, and it's either God or it's Satan. It's either faith or it's doubt, one or the other. And you don't change that, and neither does God, because it's already there, right? Your flesh can do whatever and change what, and your spirit can change, but what's in your soul is it was there predestinated by God, and so. But it's what takes place down there, because what's in the soul has to be quickened. We know Brother Adam talks about that. But once that's quickened, made alive, right? That's who you are. That's who you're ordained to be. And so it's that soul realm. And that third pool, as we're going to talk about right now, goes to that soul realm. Amen. So if we remember the woman at the well, when she met there, when she was at the well, and Jesus said, I need to go by Samaria. When the disciples had left and Jesus was there, and he walks up and she's there, or she walks up and he's there, whichever it was, and he says to her, woman, bring me a drink. He didn't say to her, you predestinated daughter of God, give me a drink. He didn't say it that way. You know, and so God will always come down on your level and start talking to you on the level that you are.
Right.
And he said, woman, give me a drink. And she in turn responds and looks to him. And she doesn't know. She didn't turn and say, you're the Messiah. She didn't know he was the Messiah. She just turned and looked to him. And all she could tell was on a flesh level, you're a Jew. And we don't have any dealings with each other. You see, so her interaction was just with the Messiah. Her interaction at that moment was with somebody that could change her body and cause her to live throughout eternity. But all she saw it to be was just a Jew, because she didn't know. And so my point is there is that was just a flesh realm interaction with the Word. And people have that all the time. People can have a flesh understanding of Jesus, and that's all it is.
Right.
But that didn't change her. That didn't fix the woman's situation. But Jesus used that to bring her to the next level,
right,
on the spirit realm. Because when she said, well, you're just a Jew and we don't have any deeds, and Jesus said, well, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. So she starts saying, well, you know, Jacob gave us as well. Can you give us something greater than Jacob? And of course he could. So, but he used that flesh interaction to get a hold of her and begin to draw her into a higher realm. And he said to her, go get your husband. And she says, I'm not married. And he said, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're with now, the sixth one, is not your husband. So now what he displayed was a prophet. He displayed the prophetic ministry there. And she caught that and she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, as soon as she realized he was a prophet of God, she shifted right over into spiritual talk now. She was saying, you know what? And so just the way I look at it in my thinking, and she said, you know what? He's a prophet. Now, I can ask him some questions and he'll tell me the truth because he's a prophet of the Lord. So she knew him to be more than just a Jew at this point. Now she saw, hey, he's not just a Jew, he's a prophet. So now I can interact with him, and she can interact with he can interact with her on a different realm than just, well, woman, and you're just a Jew. Now he can enter into something greater, and so she starts asking him questions about spiritual matters. Well, you know, Jews say worship in Jerusalem. We say here in this mountain and so forth, and that's where Jesus said, well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's and Jesus said the hour was coming that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth because the Father seeketh such.
Right.
Right? Okay. And so he was able to talk to her, and by that prophetic gift and that prophetic interaction, he was able to take her from there to the third pool. Because that first was a first pool, then a second pool as a prophet. And then he was able to take her into a third pool where he was able. She got a revelation of Jesus Christ in the third pool. Whenever she said, the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things, that I am he. So you realize something happened to her right there that did not happen to all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people that saw Jesus and interacted with him and listened to him that had no effect on their life. Something happened with her that didn't happen with him. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happened, it changed her life. That's when she dropped her water pot, she ran back to the city and told all the people, come and see. And you know what? She had a testimony. All those years that she was marrying and divorcing, she was working on a testimony, didn't even know it. Because now she's come back and those people in that city can look at her and say, you know what? There's something happened to that woman. We've known her all these years. Something's happened. We better go out there and see what this is. And they did. And then they got out there and they said, now we believe. Not just because of her words, but we've seen it ourselves. So there was a testimony working there. But that testimony was not set afire and not activated until she came in contact with him on the soul realm when he became the revelation of the Messiah to her. So you follow me? Three pools. And it wasn't the first one or the second one that got to her, but it was that third one. And when that third pool hit her, it struck something down in her soul that Brother Branham said that she had representation in heaven. Where the Pharisees, Sadducees, the learned men, the men that knew all the scriptures and all that, they didn't know it. They didn't have representation, but she did. And when she came in contact with the word, that living word that was down inside her, the word dormant, when it came in contact with the living word, it quickened that representation down in her and brought it to life. That was it for her. She was sealed away in the kingdom right there.
Right.
No question about it. So you see that what takes place down in a realm that can't be touched by man. No man, you know, I could sit here and I could walk up and I could shake you and I could physically affect your flesh. And I could say things that would change the spirit that you're in your just as a man. But I cannot touch that soul. Man can't do that. Only God can do that. Right? And that's in a secret place because we can't get there. We can't go there as humans or whatever. Satan can't go there. But God alone has access to that secret place in your heart, right? That in your soul. And that's where he does his work that cannot be reversed. Amen. And so that was the story there of the woman as well. We know Brother Graham tells us that Jesus had three pools in his ministry. He had the fishes and the loaves, ministering to the flesh. He had the healings and miracles, right? He had fishes and loaves and miracles, but it came to the place in his ministry where he began to deliver to them the word. This is in St. John chapter 6, where he said, lest you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. They thought he was a vampire. They thought all these things. And that's where the scripture said that many of those disciples, I think the 70, that just many of them left and followed him no more. And then they said, well, you're going to go away too? He said that. And And I think Peter said, where will we go?
Right.
You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, his words infuriated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Right? Drove people away from him. Brother Bram said, God does this. God purposely says and does things to drive away those that don't belong. And so this all happened, and they all left because of the word. They didn't leave him when he was doing the miracles and the fishes and the loaves. They didn't leave with all that, or discernment, or the healings. They didn't leave him because of that. But they left him because he began to deliver the word to them. We stone thee not because of healing and all these things or whatever, but because you, being a man, make yourself God when you say you're the Son of God. When he began to deliver the word, that's when they left. That's when they had a problem. And so, but that word, when he began to deliver it, that was third pull. Now, I ask you this question. Which of those did they need the most? Did they need the fishes and the loaves and the miracles and signs and wonders, or did they need the word? Because fishes and loaves, that'll touch your flesh and that'll keep you just, but you'll die and can die lost.
Right.
You can have healing and miracles and see miracles and have healing to your body, and it'll only last for a while, and you can die and die lost.
Amen.
Right? But the words that he began to deliver to them was not temporary. The effect of those words was not something that was just going to last for a little while and be gone. The effect of these words was going to go past the flesh, past the spirit, into the soul realm and quicken the believer, who can be quickened, to life. And so that was the most needful thing that there was to hear that word. Not the great ministries of these other things. Brother Randy says you can't major on a minor.
Right?
You can't major on a minor. The major thing is the word. The highest form of communication is that word of God being preached. Right? Because it's his word. It's the highest being there is, and it's his word being delivered. Amen. You know, I was just thinking, If a bulletin went out across all the airwaves, whatever, that the President of the United States was going to send a representative to each church to share with them thoughts on his that he wanted them to have, and of course, especially if you had respect for that president, but then how would you come in here and respond? We come in here, we're going to hear, there's going to be somebody coming, going to represent what the president says, and there's something he wants us to know. And everybody would come in here all serious. We got to know what it is, right? You understand my concept. But a preacher, somebody ministering the gospel, representing the Most High, and that should be reverenced and sought after even higher than it would be if it was the President of the United States. Right? So it's that word that speaks to the third pull. And that word, it goes into a realm that's not a public showing. It cannot be imitated. Can't be, right? Satan can, as Brother Ram said, Satan can imitate all of these spiritual gifts, all these gifts, but he cannot be the word.
Right.
He cannot. And so, the multitudes want to serve God underneath the fishes and loaves and under the miracles and the signs and wonders. Multitudes want to serve him in just the flesh, the feel good, and the spiritual high of praise and all that. They have all that in their services, but let the word come one time and watch what happens. See? But it's that word that's going to be the thing that's eternal, that makes a difference in their life, and that's the part that matters. Mm-hmm. And so that's third pull, and that's in a secret place, just on an individual basis, where God comes in and meets you in that secret place, and where you come in and you have that revelation and you make the Lord Jesus Christ your habitation. Mm-hmm. And so that was the most needful thing. Brother Branham had three pulls in his ministry. right? So he had the ministry where the sign in his hand, where he could take hold of someone. And of course, I wasn't born. You know, he left a week before I was born, so I didn't get to see this. But there were plenty out there who did. But it was a visible sign in his hand that you could see of colors and bumps and things that would change in his hand when he would take hold of someone. And by that, he would tell them what was wrong with them. That was the first pull. And that happened, and that you know, even when Brother Branham was in his third pull, that first one was still there. Right? That first one was still there. So, because Jesus could still do miracles, even all the way over here when he's delivering the word, he could still break the bread, fishes and loaves, all those things. Even after his resurrection, could provide broiled fish for him. But Brother Branham had that visible sign, and everybody could see that. Regardless of whether they had that gene of life in their predestinated gene in their soul or not, they could see it with their eye and see that happening in his hand. Right? That's flesh realm. Brother Ram came in and had, you know, even foretold it ahead of time. The time would come, he just know the thoughts of their heart. And then, of course, being a prophet, he could anyway. But there came a time in his ministry where it developed where he could just, without taking them by the hand, he could just know the thoughts of their heart. That's the second pull. And that was a deeper realm than just flesh, right? That was a deeper realm, and so discern the thoughts and the intents of their heart, discern people's lives. That was second pull. And they loved Brother Branham's ministry. As long as that first and second pull was what he was doing, they loved it. But when it came time for his third pull, that's when they walked away, just like they did Jesus. That's when they walked away, when he began to deliver the word, the message that God sent him to bring.
Right.
That's the thing. But I'll ask you the same thing. What does people need more than anything else? Do they need to see that sign in the hand? Do they need the discernment? Or do they need the word that was delivered by that prophet to this generation? They need that word, because it's that word that brings you into that secret place where Jesus Christ becomes a personal relationship to you. That flesh doesn't give you that personal relationship. Even spiritual healings and things like that does not give you a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've told you the testimony of the man with the eyeball missing and so forth. That did not create a new birth in those who saw it. I testify to that. I was there. I saw it. And I tell you, the lives of at least one of those people didn't change them. Right? Because that was just on that first or second realm. And the world is full of ministries that have millions of, or thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, and it's all on those first two realms. Because they can't go to that secret place. There's only one ministry that can go to that secret place, and that is God. That is his word. That is a third pull ministry. That's the only one that can get into that realm that we're talking about. And so Brother Branham had that. And when he began to preach the opening of the word, that's when they said, you got to leave. And Brother Branham tells us about, and he tells it many times, about the vision he had when he was fishing. And he's casting his lure out there, and the angel of the Lord, or whatever being it was there that was talking to him, was telling him how to fish. Okay, you know, and the scriptures talk about being fishers of men, right? So this angel's telling Brother Branham, angel of the Lord, here's how you fish. And so he talks about how that when he cast it out there, when the fish would go to nibble on it, he'd jerk it. And I think the instruction was, don't do that. And maybe the second time. And Brother Branham jerks that, and he brings it, and the line comes out, and here's this little bitty fish that almost couldn't even swallow the lure, right? How many members all that? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord is telling him, listen, we want you to catch the big fish. We want you to catch the rainbow trout, right? Covenant fish, rainbow. We want you to catch those, and they're out in the deep water. And when you got to cast out there, and yeah, you kind of pull on it, and they'll try to mess with it, you know, and you kind of pull it a little bit. But don't pull real hard. Wait, because then they'll come. And so there's three times he was instructed, and on that third pull, that's when you actually set the hook, and you'll be catching the rainbow trout. You will be catching the little bitty fish that come up there. But when you pull it like that, they'll kind of scatter, but that'll attract the bigger ones. Okay? And so the third pull was the one that landed the rainbow trout. Wasn't the first pull? Wasn't the second pull? And if you go through all the times the brother I'm talking about, he's talking about he just caught a little bitty fish like the other fishermen, the other preachers were getting. Preachers can catch all kinds with first pull, second pull, flesh, miracles, signs, wonders, all those kinds. You can catch all kinds of people like that. But what God wants is the covenant fish, the rainbow trout. You follow me? And it's the third pull that catches them, not the first and not the second. Third pull catches the rainbow trout. Because of the message, I always thought, man, I want to go trout fishing. I had never done it until I went to Colorado with the brothers a few years ago. And I always thought, man, I want to catch a rainbow trout. Right? We go out there and pull up to that first place, and my first cast into the water in Colorado, I caught a rainbow trout. I thought, what in the world have I been doing fishing in Arkansas for where I need to be out here, you know? First cast. And I just thought, Lord, you're good. You've known all this time I wanted to do that, and just about here comes the first thing, you know? And so, but it's the third pull that really gets it. What God was instructing this prophet to do, to grab that the fish that God wanted, it wasn't first pull and second pull that did it. It was the third pull that did it. That's what catches you. Not that discernment, not that sign of the hand, but the word being delivered. That's what catches us. And it catches us, and it performs in us something on a soul realm that can never be reversed, can never change, because we're caught. We're hooked then. Amen. And so, he goes on from that vision. He goes on and he talks about the vision of the great cathedral or whatever it was, where all these, and they had a prayer line, and there was a little bitty room there. And that light, the pillar of fire, says, "I'll meet you in there." Right? And that light goes down into that room. Brother Bram talks about people coming into that room one at a time. They come in there. And they come out the other side, totally healed, totally well. And they don't even know how it happened. Mm-hmm. And it's that little room. And the angel of the Lord, when he said, "I'll meet you in there," and it'll be the third pool. What happens in that secret room, not out here in the great big cathedral, not out here where everybody and all these multitudes, but as each person, one by one, goes in there, he says, "I'll meet you in there." That's where the third pull will be worked, in a secret little room. And you'll come from that experience totally, completely healed, totally well. And I think of totally raptured, body changed, from the third pull that happens in a secret place. Do you see why I'm saying that it's that secret personal relationship? This and your body change is going to come, not because you're part of this group, but because you have a personal relationship with the Word. Amen. That you have daily. And you bring the goodness of that to this assembly and able to share your lick of fire with us. But this assembly is not your source of fire. Right. Your source of fire comes from your personal walk and your little personal prayer closet, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. That's where your strength comes from. Mm-hmm. But he says, I'll meet you in there, and it'll be the third pull, and it won't be a public showing. Nobody else is going to see what the Lord does in your life there. right? What the Lord's actually doing in you, in your secret place, nobody else is going to see that because they're not going to be allowed there. But you can come out from there and have a testimony. Amen.
Amen.
So, all of these ministries out here that feature this and feature that, and I've even been in message services where they try to mimic those first and second Paul. What are they doing? Because those things are not going to get to the people what they need. It is the word that gets them what they need. And so we don't want to focus on those things, and even though we love miracles and things. We love the Lord when he does healings. That's still there. But what's the one thing that we seek after? Right? The one thing that we seek after that we want more than anything else. And so these ministries that feature those things, they cannot meet the real needs. I don't need just another healing for my body. I do, but I need more than that.
Right. Amen.
Right? I need something that's permanent. Right? And that is the word and what it does down inside our soul, quickening us, making us, putting us in that secret place. And so, all that in the secret place. The seventh seal, when it was opened, was a secret. And you know something happened there, but it was a secret. Because what takes place behind the seventh seal, Brother Rem said, because Satan might try to do harm with it. So God just kept it hid from me. Brother Rem said he knows nothing about it. Satan knows nothing about what happens inside that. But we know that what happens behind that seventh seal secret, what happened there was also third pool. Right? We know that from the message. A secret thing happening where God's doing something with his people and Satan can't mimic it. How can he mimic something he don't know what is? Right? And what's the one thing he can't be? He can mimic all this other stuff, but the one thing he cannot be is the word.
Right.
The one thing he cannot do is create.
Right.
So you know that God ushers us off into a realm where the spoken word, the creative spoken word, is a secret place. Satan can't get to it, and we're hid in Christ Jesus, and there we are. And in that relationship, God's changing us and going to quicken our bodies, and Satan can't get there. And nobody else sees it, just you and the Lord, right? I believe that you're all believers and Christians, but I can't guarantee you that because I don't know. All I can do is look at the fruit in your life, and it looked good to me, the fruit saying that you're believers. But that's a realm that only belongs to God. He's the one that has to say this one. He's the one that knows the names that are on the book, right? And so, we realize that. And so, it's a secret thing. And so, I was reading there, and Brother Graham talks, the scriptures talk about it in the third church age, and Brother Graham mentions this, it's in the church age book. It says, I will give you a white stone, and in it, a name, a new name, that only he that receives it will know what that name is. I remember reading that. And in the church age book, Brother Graham says, one day, God we'll give you a new name. Give you something that only you who receive it know what it is. Right? I can say, I'll use Brother Tim and Sister Catherine as an example. Is that okay? He's like, well, depends on what it is. But, I can say, this is Tim Lane. And 1,000 people could say, this is Miss Tim Lane. But until he says it, it's not valid. Right? Right? But once he tells her, then she knows. Right? And it's all done in a secret way. So you understand what I'm getting at. That God wants to, he'll come to you and he'll say, I'm giving you a new name. Why? Because all through the Bible, once people got a name change, it was because there was a change in their life. It was a change, a victory. And they got their names changed to represent what the life change was. They got a name to change too. So he says, I'm going to give you a new name. And nobody else is going to know it. It's going to be a secret. Then I want to tell you, it's going to happen under the third pool. And only you're going to know what that name is. And that name will tell you what your new life is. And Brother Rams tells in the church, he said, perhaps it will be that real name that was on the book of life all along that he'll receive, that he'll give to you. Perhaps that's, he didn't say, he said, perhaps that would be. But you understand, God, it's a personal relationship in a secret place where you had that revelation of Jesus Christ and you just walk right up into that and you close yourself in that realm and make that your habitation, that you live daily.
Amen.
Wrapped up in that word and that promise of the hour away from the rest of the world. Amen. So he's going to give you a new name. Maybe all that is that he just says, you're Miss Jesus Christ. You're Miss Jesus Christ. But when he says it, right? Everybody out here can say, oh, you know, these are real believers and they were real believers. But when God came with signs and wonders and the opening of the seals, and he said, I'll tell you who the real believers were under the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal. When he claims it and he stands with one foot on land and the other on sea and says, time should be no more. See, when he does it, then it matters, right? And that's why they say, well, Brother Branham, he taught stuff that Larkin said. Well, yeah, Larkin can be right. But Larkin wasn't that voice that God sent to nail it down. And Brother Branham was. You see? So now when Brother Branham come along and says, Larkin was right on this part right here, that's rock solid now. You see what I'm saying? And people have a problem with that. What did you want him to do? Come with something that was different, that was wrong? His job was to point to truth. And everybody that had truth, he said, that's truth, that's not, but this is, that's not, but this is. His job was to bring us to the word, to truth, because that's what changes. It's nothing like knowing truth, because you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And I keep saying this, not set you free, because you can be set free and go in bondage again. But if the truth makes you free, you can't be in bondage again. Right? When you're freedom itself, when you're life itself, you can't die. When you're freedom itself, you can't be bound. Though you might be in a prison, you might be somewhere, but if you're free, you're free. You're not bound. Amen. So I hope you understand what I mean by that. So, while the world is falling apart, we have a secret place for us to go to flee to when times are hard, troubles and things happening, and all these things falling apart. We have a place that God promised we could go there, and that will be our habitation, and these things will not get us, will not come to us, right? Because he is our refuge. When you look out here in the world and you see all of this, Brother Branham told us these things, but now here it is before us. When you see all this corruption in high places being exposed, that isn't so that the people can all rally together and change it, because they're not going to change it. That's not what that's there for. In my book, this is me. But to me, all that's happening there so that everybody can look and see that you need a hiding place. You need a refuge, because that is not it. Right? People need to see that it's corruption. When Brother Rim said both parties were corrupt, what do you see? Okay, he was right, right? Said America would have a financial problem. So, okay, you can see that he was right. He talked about the racial division and stuff. Look what you've got. So now we know, yeah, these things are here. He told us, he warned us so many, 50, 60 years ago, but now we can see it. And you see that nothing's changing. They reveal all the corruption that's there, and nobody gets in trouble for it. They just keep right on going on. Why? Because the whole thing is so that we might all see what hour we live in and make our choices.
Right.
Where are you going to go for your safety?
Right.
Where are you going to go to find a habitation to protect you? And it's not in these programs. Not any decision they make outside of the Word of God will fall apart. And that's why the prophet preached The world is falling apart. We've got to come to grips with that. Young, old, I don't care who you are, you got to come with grips with that. The world you live in is falling apart. You better get to that safety zone of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, you know, all these preppers, all these people, you know, prepping. And I don't have a problem with someone putting it back a little bit for a disaster or something, whatever. That's fine. Just make sure Jesus is your real safety zone. Right. These preppers, they have a bug out location. They have a secret location. And when everything goes crazy, we're going to run to this secret location, natural type spiritual. And they think that they can hide. They'll be waiting on them when they get there. You see what I'm saying? But there's one place that you can go to that they won't be there, and they can't find it. They know nothing about it, because Satan knows nothing about it. And so since Satan knows nothing about it, he can't tell nobody else about it.
Right.
So no government, no man, nobody, nowhere can know about it, but the believer does.
Amen.
And it's a secret place, but it's not a secret. It's not a secret to you, because you know where it is because you're there.
Right.
But everybody else is scratching their head going, where did they go? How come these things aren't affecting them? Satan hates it when all this stuff that they roll out, that they want everybody to come on board with and just become full force, everything that they want. He hates it when we've got people that says, I'll pass on that. I'll pass on this thing you're trying to give to us and you're making it free, but I know it's not free because it's got a hook in it somewhere. He hates it. And people around you who are hook, line, and sinker, they hate it when you don't too. But you see what it is, see? Because we're back here, we're like, I'm okay. I got peace. I got something here that I'm okay. You do what you need to, but I don't need that because I got a secret place.
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so here at the end time, time of trouble, all these things happening, we as the bride of Christ, we realize there's one thing we got to do. There's one thing we've got to seek after. We've got to get to that safety zone. Get to that place. And we'll be fine. That's what we're to do. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll let the musicians come. And our hearts pray just for a moment, and I'll let you go. You've been a good congregation this morning. Stay attentive to the word. This is about our hearts. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time of fellowship around your word. Lord, I pray that you seal away into the hearts of your believers these things that have been spoken this morning. Lord, that they would realize that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That means he that's even in our flesh because of it not being born again. But greater is he that lives down inside us. And Lord, may we each one learn more and more each day how to close ourselves up into that little habitation of your presence and that secret place. We love you, Lord, and we just commit these things to each one and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I'll stand and worship just for a moment.
Thank you.
Amen.